Hi, this is Patti LuPone.
This is Allison Janney.
This is Matt Ballmer.
This is Donna Murphy.
This is Nia Vardalos.
This is Jesse Tyler Ferguson.
This is Beanie Feldstein.
I'm Octavia Spencer.
This is Ben Platt, and you're listening to Little Known Facts with my favorite person on the planet, Alana Levine.
A-OK.
Welcome to Little Known Facts, a podcast where you will hear unfiltered, raw, honest, and uniquely funny interviews with artists you love as they talk about the art they love to make. I'm your host, Alana Levine.
Hey, I heard you needed inspiration. He's Alana and friends with some revelations. Little known fact of the day. Every little thing's gonna be A-OK.
Little known fact about my guest today, her very first job was playing Maria in West Side Story, the musical. And now, all these years later, she has a role in the film version of West Side Story. What a full circle moment. What an incredible human. What a great story you're about to hear. Welcome, Andrea Burns, to the podcast.
A-OK.
Everyone, my guest today is Andrea Burns. Andrea's Broadway credits include The Rose Tattoo, On Your Feet, The Nance, In the Heights, The Ritz, The Full Monty, and Beauty and the Beast. She has a gorgeous solo album called A Deeper Shade of Red. Some of her many TV credits include Mad About You, Jessica Jones, Kevin Can Wait, Blue Bloods, and Law and Order. Most recently, however, she can be seen in the film West Side Story, directed by the great Stephen Sondheim. Welcome, Andrea, to the podcast.
So happy to be here. Stephen Sondheim is on our brains, of course, but Steven Spielberg...
Did I just say directed by Stephen Sondheim?
I just wanted you to know that. Which Sondheim is on all of our brains, of course.
Yes, right. Yes. I just was at the company opening last night, and I have just been so full. Also, a little known up-and-comer, Steven Spielberg, who directed West Side Story. I think he's going to do great. That's just my personal opinion. Yeah. So part of your story, when people sort of... get a deep dive into the brilliance that is you and your singular voice and your incredible comedic skills and your ability to fill every character you play with such humanity and make it seem effortless, even though I know you work harder than anyone on the planet with everything you do. Maria in West Side Story is such a huge part of your musical theater origin story. And so the fact that this full circle moment has happened for you must be thrilling. So can you just share why Maria is part of your story and then why this West Side Story film moment, directed by not Stephen Sondheim, is so meaningful for you?
Thank you. And thank you for all the kind things you said. It's tremendously meaningful for me. My very first professional job was playing Maria in West Side Story. On a European tour, I left school to do it. And it became, I went on that tour for months and then would leave for a few months and then go back. So it became kind of my college education. Instead of finishing school, I was at West Side U. And the late, great Alan Johnson, who was the heir apparent to Jerome Robbins' setting of the show, who had taught us so much of the origins of the actual making of the piece, he actually made me a diploma on my last day there. So many things happened. I got my equity card. I met my future husband who played Tony, and now we have a son who's half jet, half shark. So this is incredibly meaningful to me. So many of my original first circle of friends all came from that group. When I first moved to New York afterwards, because I'd been in a dorm when I left, I came back and moved in with Devin and Janky, who was my chino at the time. He's a director choreographer now. And it's just, he was the best man at my wedding. So there's just so many pieces of this show that have defined my life. So I do a little joke in my club act. I've been doing this for years about how even though I got cast very young doing it, it was my bread and butter for a long time. And I kept going back to play Maria over and over at different venues as I kept getting older. And I was joking around by the last time I did it that, you know, I'd be, as long as people were asking, I'd be doing it until I was 80 years old. And I would do the last verse of, I would sing I Feel Pretty in my act all through different ages. And I'd do the last verse kind of as Elaine Stritch, which was always kind of a joke, obviously. But the crazy self-fulfilling prophecy of this,
yes,
that 30 years later, here I am in West Side Story. My agent calls to say, you know, they want to see you for the movie. And I said, as what? You know, there's no like middle-aged lady in West Side Story. What could this possibly be? But they were creating this role. And the fact that I got to go into it, I'm in the number I Feel Pretty, is beyond. And then coincidentally, that very same week, I was recording the audiobook of Elaine Stritch's life. So, you know, it just
goes, what is happening?
What is happening? It was one of the nuttiest things. I mean, I've been doing, it's almost like, you know, an old chestnut in my act. It's like, oh, you're going to do that again. But, yeah. You know, it's everybody enjoys it. It's very funny. And now I'm like, I have to add a whole third part to the story, totally. Which is here I am in the movie.
Did you know Steven Spielberg before this project came up?
Absolutely not. And unlike my great heroes, Stephen Sondheim, Hal Prince, these wonderful people that I dreamed of getting to work with, he was just so beyond my imagination. Yeah. Especially yeah. being someone who wanted really a life on the stage. And so the idea that I got to do this with him on something that I considered such familiar territory,
right.
kind of my turf, yeah. Was fantastic. And he was so incredibly collaborative. I think that's what I'll never forget from the experience.
Did you audition for him? Did you go on tape? Like, what was the process? And what did they say this part was? Like, what did you do to get into this movie?
Great question.
I want to know.
It was for this role, Senora Fausta, who is an essential, who is essentially, excuse me, like Maria's boss, kind of.
She is essential. Yes.
Thank you for that.
There are no Freudian slips here. Yes.
So I had to come in and do a little bit of a scene that is in the movie, and then do I Feel Pretty with, you know, as much comedic flair as I could muster. And it's just so funny that this happens to be, you know, a song that's followed me through the years. So I went on tape.
Okay.
And that was that. But it was like, you know, right away I heard back and that I'd gotten it. And I was in a state of shock, to be honest.
Can you describe, I mean, you know, there are many steps that happen before day one of principal photography for an actor. There are fittings and there are conversations. And I don't know if you guys rehearsed, you know, with each other or separately, but what was sort of, once you, all right, first of all, let me even, before all that,
okay,
how do you find out that you get this part in this movie?
Actually, my manager, Dave Brenner, who was just very sweet, called me up to tell me I was up for like one guest spot in a television show. Mm-hmm. So he called, he says, you know, a couple of things. Turns out you didn't get this spot on CSI or whatever it was.
Damn.
But you are going to be in the West Side Story movie. You know, he completely did the old 1-2 punch. We're in a state of shock. My husband was with me and he just kept saying, oh my God, you're going to be, you know, in
and
this
he gets
part.
It. Not only does he get it, I mean, he was a part of that journey too. So how
Correct.
Special.
Incredibly special.
And then what is the process? Like what happens?
Well, in this particular case, which I think was rare, because it's a musical, we had rehearsals, and
right.
that was thrilling. We were all in this huge ballet studio in Dumbo that had a lot of different studios. So what was thrilling about that is you got to spend a lot of time with the cast, which you never really would on a movie set. And
Is this pre-COVID or
pre-COVID?
During, right. So you're still unmasked and able to interact
yes.
like the old days.
It all wrapped up, thankfully, fall of 2019. So.
Wow.
Thankfully. So we were there with Justin Peck, who does such incredible work in this film, and his wonderful partner and assistant, Patricia Delgado, and all the women in the in the piece. So we'd be there, and I remember, you know, Stephen just walking in and just like saying, you know, who's new today, and coming right over, shaking my hand. Hi, I'm Stephen. So personable, so collaborative. I mean, you do when you meet, you know, a legend like he is. It's even being an old school vet who's met a lot of famous people.
Yeah.
You do kind of freeze in your shoes for a minute. It took a few minutes of just sort of going, is this real?
Yeah.
But once we all got into the work, he was so funny, so collaborative. He comes in at one point, we show him what we've come up with, what Justin's come up with some staging, and then he takes a broom and he starts spinning around with it. And everything he does is like, great. I'm like, wait, you're a choreographer now? You're amazing. There's a reason for the status. You know, he is an incredible artist. He is an open collaborator. I never in my wildest dreams could have imagined sitting with him and having him go, well, what if you do this, I'll do this. And me saying, well, how about this? Is this funny? You know, so I will take that with me forever and ever. That was just unbelievable. And it being kind of as comfortable as it could be, it was comfortable because I did feel like I was talking to somebody who we were just in the sandbox together, which was so exciting.
That is incredible. That's incredible. Well, let's go back. Where are you from originally?
I'm from Miami, Florida.
Okay.
Half Venezuelan and half, my dad is a Jewish guy born in Brooklyn, but raised in the Catskills. So I've got like a whole borscht belt. I got a borscht belt side and I got a Latina side. I've always said, I feel so grateful to my parents that I have this rich cultural heritage I have keys to a couple of kingdoms is the way. It's so incredible to be able to unlock something that might be a wall culturally and say, no, you know, we can understand each other in this way.
So. Did your dad speak Spanish or would you and your mom have private conversations that he had no idea what you were saying?
At this point, at like 52 years of marriage, I think he understands a lot, but he doesn't have a good ear. He never could really speak. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think he gets the gist whenever we're speaking, but yes, I remember as a kid being able to plan my father's like 40th surprise birthday party.
Right in front of him.
Yes.
He was actually buying the things for it and he had no idea.
Exactly.
So you somehow get, you know, Florida, New York, that's not a quick walk. So you make your way to college, you said, and you don't finish. You go to West Side Story U instead. And then you come back to New York with a diploma from West Side Story University. Yeah. So you did not go back to college proper.
Right.
And then you hit the ground running and you make your Broadway debut?
You know, there was a little bit of breath in between both, but but thank you for that.
Just a minute.
But I did. I did hit the ground running. I was lucky enough that I had gone on tour. I had saved my money so that I could live and audition and take classes and kind of build my own conservatory experience in the New York theater scene. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I was doing. And I would occasionally, you know, I'd do some regional theater and some, you know, readings and demos at that time, all of the time. And then I was part of a show called Songs for a New World with Jason Robert Brown. And that
for
was...
For whom you have become a muse ever since.
Well, we know each other for a long time. We actually do summer camp together at French Woods.
Which You're one is, of those kids.
I am. I am proudly one of those kids. It was one of the greatest experiences of my life because growing up in Miami that had actually a great music scene, a great dance scene, there was really no theater scene. And going up to the Catskills every summer to meet my people was incredible. And Jason was one of them. And we played Mr. and Mrs. McAfee and Bye Bye Birdie when we were 11 and 12 years old, respectively. And we weren't particularly close at camp, but we were part of a group that did a lot of shows together. And when we both found ourselves in New York, he had left Eastman School of Music, I think after a year, and I had left the road, West Side Story. And so we just went to support each other. You know, I would say, oh my God, there's Jason. He's playing at this piano bar. Or he'd come and see me. And one day he says to me, come over. I have all this music. I want you to start singing these songs. And we had what I say is like the quintessential, like that rom-com moment where two friends go, oh my God, we're in love.
Yeah.
I think the artists in us fell in love at that moment. And he was like, learn this, learn this. And I think because we grew up around so many of the same musical influences, there was kind of a
it made sense forehand. To you. Yeah, deeply. Did Daisy go to camp? Daisy Prince go to?
No.
No, that was another.
That was later, and it was Jason who introduced me to Daisy. And then luckily, because I was really the very, very newbie that had no credits to speak of except that West Side Story credit out of town. They kept me along, and we did Songs for a New World. And it was there that I was seen for Beauty and the Beast.
Got it. And then you ended up being a replacement in the show.
Yes. Yes.
I want to just jump to In the Heights, because I think it must have been quite something to be a part of something when it was just, you know, a group of people like putting on a play to a Tony winning, you know, extraordinary production that just became a movie that launched so many people into a bigger arena, yourself included, in terms of people really knowing who you were. Mm-hmm. Was that a joyous experience?
I can confirm that 100%. And I imagine, because of all the incredible success that came with Hamilton, what a wonderful that experience that was for a lot of my friends who were involved. But I'm so grateful that we got to be the first group to sort of midwife Lynn's work into the world. Nobody knew. And that's what was so exciting, was being here and listening to them. We were the first audience, really, in rehearsals when we heard something like When You're Home for the first time, or even him rapping the opening number. It was like, what is this incredibly fresh, exciting, meticulous, beautiful work? And who is this guy?
Yeah.
So we all fell in love. And then I think because we knew the whole was greater than the sum of its parts, and what Lynn was doing for the community and for musical theater in general, we all shared the responsibility. And so it became something that we were all proud of equally. It was not about any one of us.
Yeah.
And that was joyful. Not to mention that you were usually, if you're in a show that, you know, there may be one other Latin person in the show. And here, you know, it was like 95%. And the 5% that weren't Spanish speakers were Spanish speakers by the end of the run. It was a really, really beautiful,
And did you know him before, or did that just come from an audition? Like with Spielberg, you just auditioned.
It didn't even come from an audition. It was somebody recommended me to come in and do the reading. And so they called me and said, you know, will you come in? It was act one. It was at Manhattan Theater Club. Can you come in and just, you know, read for a couple of days? And, you know, it was kind of, I think, love at first sight on
both
ends.
So you didn't know Tommy Cale, you didn't know Lynn, you didn't know
anyone. I didn't know anyone.
I think so much about preparation, right? And having talent. And then in your case, what do you feel like was your lucky break? Like, if this hadn't happened, maybe these other things. I mean, in some ways, maybe was it your courage to go, I'm going to leave college? Like, that must have been a huge thing.
I guess so. But, you know, in retrospect, you look at your younger self, and sometimes I think, wow, I was so driven. I was so hungry. I think because I wanted it so badly, and I knew I could not find it at home in my hometown. I mean, Miami is now much more burgeoning theater community. But and also, I just really wanted to get to New York. And in a way, it all wasn't going, even in college, it wasn't going fast enough for me. I was very hungry and self-taught, and I had subscriptions to like Playbill magazine, and like, you know, I was devouring albums, you know, it's like studying Pacific overtures at the library.
Who brought that to you? Like, who in your life when you're young was like, I'm going to introduce you to something that's going to blow your mind. Here's your new religion. It is musical theater.
Well, being in the line of the great Jewish tradition, it was my dad who, of course, went to the theater growing up and loved it. And so introduced me really with movie musicals. So West Side Story I may have been like 6 years old when I saw that for the first time.
Wow. Yeah.
So it was him that, you know, he really showed me all of those movies, and I just fell in love with it. And so by the time I was 11 and there was an ad in my Parade magazine, you know, to go about this camp where you could go and do theater. I had my parents, you know, I said, look at this. This looks like this is something for me. And of course, then watching the, one of the great gifts of going to a camp like that is actually getting to see the shows. Getting to be in them is great. But I was just falling in love show after show after show. I had a great mentor there who became a pediatrician on the Upper East Side, but he was going through med school. He was a great pianist and he music directed everything. His name's Dr. Bruce Sachs. And he was the one who said, this is Sondheim. Listen to this. Now listen to this. Now listen to this. And yeah, I think all of those people were incredibly instrumental in my being here today.
And when did you realize, like when you opened your mouth and sang, that it was extraordinary? Like not like everybody else who sings.
It's so sweet. As a kid, you don't really know, but I guess in elementary school, I would sing songs in the chorus and, you know, my friends would say, oh, you have such a great voice. And, you know, I would be most excited for solos and stuff in chorus, basically. That's where it started. And I was so grateful, actually, I might add, to have an incredible music program in elementary school where my music teacher, just everybody, it was like the thing to be in chorus and instrumental ensemble. He made it such a joyous thing that even anyone who had no sort of musical bent wanted to be part of it, you know?
What do your parents do, or what did they do when you were growing up? What were the careers that you saw in your daily life?
My dad was an attorney. And my mom was an interior decorator. And my mom loved to sing, but had really no interest in theater, but she loved music. Mm-hmm. And my dad couldn't sing, but loved the theater. And actually, you'll appreciate this. So my dad's dad was a MC at a Catskill resort. Okay. So, right. So like in the 50s and 60s. So it was called the Laurels Hotel. It's no longer around. But my dad grew up watching his dad MC and bring all these incredible entertainers, you know, like Sam Cooke and Buddy Hackett and you name it, you know.
Yeah.
So he had that love for
That's in his DNA. Totally. Do you have siblings?
I do. I have a younger brother. He lives in LA and he's a Renaissance artist. He does music producing. He's directed films. So my parents got these two artists.
Real creatives. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so they were supportive?
Incredibly so. I can't even imagine how or why.
Mm-hmm.
I think they got it. They got it and they really stood by me. And certainly for me to leave school to go do a tour is a big deal. But I remember my dad saying, let's face it, this is why you're here. You know, we're doing this so that you can have these opportunities and we're going to support you. So I'm incredibly grateful to them for that.
Tell me what this movie means, like West Side Story, that comes out in 2021, in this moment in time, in this world, after everything the universe has been through in recent history. Like, what comes to mind for you?
It's a gift, I felt. I mean, I was at the premiere, I saw the movie once so far, so I've seen the movie once, but it is such a visual feast, first of all, for those of us who have been starved from seeing things on the big screen. Mm-hmm. It reminds you why watching things on the big screen are so totally worth it. Every frame is exquisite. This is such an incredible piece of artwork. And what's so beautiful is that these incredible artists at the top of their game have chosen to bring it back, pay respect and homage, but now fill in the gaps. And there are they're just beautiful, beautiful enhancements and dimensions to this story that didn't exist before, and time had to catch up to bring bring to the, you know, to the Hollywood Four, I'll say.
Yeah.
But I did, you know, I was talking to Rachel Zegler after the premiere, and I said, "Your opportunity, you're not just getting to play Maria. This is the Maria of dreams. She gets to say what she wants, and she gets to say it the way we want to hear it. There's a lot of Spanish speaking in the movie, and that is incredibly satisfying to Spanish speakers who, in some cases, a lot of them have loved the movie. A lot of them had said they felt shut out of the movie originally. So, I mean, I always loved the movie, but I just, to me, it's just, you know, it's the cherry on top. I can't believe I'm getting to watch these characters I've known and loved my whole life speak Spanish and just, I see so much more dimensions to all of them. It's thrilling.
You know, often when we start a play or a musical, the director on the first day sort of talks about the why, right? And in some ways tries to go like, this is the story I want to tell. So we're kind of all on the same page, right? Like, no matter what you bring to the show, this is kind of the tone that I want the play or the piece. Did Spielberg ever sort of, I keep wanting to say Sondheim, my God. Did Spielberg-
He was very important to this too.
Yes, so, and I know he was a part of the process also. What can you share about that? Like Spielberg's vision for it and maybe what Sondheim's participation in this version of it was.
Absolutely. Steven gave this incredible speech to all of us about how he grew up listening to only classical music. It was that was the music that was brought into his home. I think his parents had like a Columbia Records subscription or something like that. And so it was all classical music, except finally, because of Bernstein, West Side Story came in and he listened to that, obsessively. And he shared with us that although he loved the movie when it came out, but he felt like some of it didn't match the pictures in his head. And so for him, I think this was a tremendously joyful bucket list experience that he got to live these pictures out loud while at the same time revering the makers of it, you know, the Bernstein children with it, Jamie and Alex, you know, were part of this. Obviously, Stephen Sondheim was part of it. And one of the greatest things was getting to work with Steve on what was really his last maybe public collaboration, and he really was working on it to the end. We were in a separate room at one point with Janine Tesori and Tony Kushner and Steve. I went in to just try on different lyrics for America because there's different ones from the show and there's ones that are in the movie, and he was still sort of trying to figure out what he liked best and what would land best in this day and age. And it was really fun. I mean, I have this treasured experience of getting to workshop a bit of America with Stephen Sondheim for this final version. He came and spoke to all the kids. And that's the other thing, Alana, like, I'm so grateful that I've had these experiences. I got to perform and meet Jerome Robbins, like back in the day when I was a young girl, but to watch all of this generation meet him, have him speak to them. They were so bowled over that he was so personable and such an, also just a collaborative artist. I mean, he could be very, obviously very shy, but when talking about the work, he doesn't seem like anyone different, right? When he's actually, painting in the palette with you. It was tremendous to be on such an inside, intimate experience. And they really were leaned in a very intimate way.
Wow. All right. Well, how glorious, all of it. And there's a cast album. I mean, it's just really a soundtrack, I guess, because it is a movie recording. Can you share a little known fact about you before we say goodbye?
Sure. A little known fact about me. I, as grateful as I am for my incredible experiences in the theater, the greatest thing, and that West Side Story has given me, the greatest thing is my family. My husband and my son are just the number one priority in my life, and they're both here because of West Side Story. I guess that's really the little known fact, is it brought me not only a career, but it brought me my family and my life.
Andrea Burns, how lucky we are to live on the same planet as you. Thank you for being on the show today. I can't wait to have you back because there's about 7 more Broadway shows to deep dive into. And until next time, thank you for being on Little Known Facts.
Thank you. It's such a pleasure to be here. And thank you for making this so fun and comfortable. And you're wonderful.
One more thing. So many of you have asked, how do you donate to the podcast? Well, it could not be easier. Just go to littleknownfactspodcast.com/donations. Instructions are clearly laid out, and I'm so grateful to you in advance for any donation you choose to make. But regardless, I have loved, loved, loved making the previous 200 and something episodes for you. I can't wait to make 200 more. I wish you a beautiful day. Stay healthy, be safe. Until next time.
Clouds can make the wind blow. Bugs can make the grass grow. So, there you go. These are little known facts that now you know.
The episode was edited by Nicholas Klar. We recorded in New York City. And the Little Known Facts theme song was written and recorded by Georgia Famusa with backups by Caleb Famusa.